Good morning and welcome to worship. If you're visiting with us, I extend a very special welcome to you. It's great to be in worship with you today. Vacation Bible School was a tremendous success. We'll talk a little bit more about that, but we really want to thank all the volunteers who made that happen. SBR committee invites you to a reception following this service for Chase and Jana Green, a reception for their wedding. It'll be held in the warehouse. So after this service, go in there and congratulate them and visit with them. Chase has an announcement for us, an update on the annual conference.
Good morning. It's great to be with you. It's great to be back. And I'm so thankful to be here with my lovely wife here in worship. I couldn't imagine a better place to be. I want to give a quick update from our annual conference. In my opinion, this has been one of the best annual conferences we've ever had. That's thanks to God, who has really provided, I think, a better conference in years. And also from our leadership, from our bishop, Bishop Muller, whom many of you have heard preach here in this very sanctuary. There were several things that got passed. One notably was that we will, in the next 3 years, make a really conservative effort as a conference, all of the Methodist churches in Arkansas, to combat childhood hunger in this state. We'll be doing lots of different community efforts, lots of fundraising for that. And so look on the future weeks and months with how we will impact childhood hunger in Arkansas. There was a resolution brought forward for the young people to go and discuss at a great youth event from all across the United Methodist Connection to discuss homosexuality. And so the young people are going to be discussing that. I'm not sure when that date is for that conference, but it'll be in the coming year. So we'll be in prayer for them in that conversation that's very tough discussion. And the other thing we want to say this morning is that there will be a camping coordinator that has been added to the conference staff. And actually, there is minimal apportionment raising because of that. We'll be reduced 5% of our apportionments this year. So that's great. We can use a lot more of that money to go and do missions in our local community and how Asbury would see fit to offer God's blessings to our neighbors. That's very exciting for me. I'm so blessed to have been reappointed here for my second year. I felt like this year was just a blast. It went by incredibly quick, but it was such a blessing. And I believe Reverend Mary will be coming back to us for her third year. And for her wonderful leadership for our church and getting us stability and giving us vision for our future. And what could you say about the 19th year? Is it 19 or is it 25? 20. That's an anniversary. We are thankful. We are thankful for the care, compassion and service of David, all he's given to Asbury, and we thank him, and we are thankful on behalf of the clergy to serve here. With that said, I'll hand it back over to David.
Let's take a moment and greet and welcome one another. As we stand, will you join with me in the call to worship? Count it all joy when you meet various trials. And let steadfastness have its full effect, that you may be perfect and complete, lacking in nothing. Amen.
Thank you.
affirmation of faith this morning is the Apostles' Creed. You'll find it printed in your bulletin. Let us affirm our faith together. I believe in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. The third day he rose from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sitteth at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen.
If my little friends will come forward, and if I can get some of my volunteers to come and be on the front. We had a wonderful week at Vacation Bible School. Our theme was Everywhere Fun Fair, where God's world comes together. We had over 80 children registered this last week, and we learned a lot of things about our neighbors. Mostly, our main theme was is that God welcomes everyone. So I want the children to tell you a little bit about the five themes that we learned about our neighbors this week. You ready? The first one is neighbors are
friendly.
Friendly. The second thing is neighbors are
welcoming.
Welcoming. That was our fifth day. Let's see, Nathan, neighbors are
bold.
Bold. That was our third day. Neighbors are
giving.
Giving. That was our second day. And we have one more. Neighbors were what?
Welcoming.
They are
forgiving.
Forgiving. So we learned this week that neighbors are friendly, they are giving, they're bold, they are forgiving, and lastly, that they are welcoming. And we mainly learned that we need to be welcoming to others. And so, just as a little bit of fun for this morning, we would like to sing for you our main song, Everywhere Fun Fair.
Fantastic, super blast of fun we'll see.
Thank you to everyone who decorated, volunteered, donations, guided, whoever, because you know what? We had a wonderful week. So thank you very much, Asbury.
Call your attention to our prayer concerns. Some additions. We want to remember Mary Beth Scott and Lita Anglin, who had outpatient procedures this week, and Becky Howarth. We want to remember, too, the clergy in the Arkansas Conference and their families. Some will be transitioning to new assignments in the weeks ahead, and we need to keep all of them in our prayers. Let's go to God in prayer. Almighty and everlasting God, we thank you for this new day and for calling us away from the noise and the frantic pace of the world to worship you with our brothers and sisters. Father, we confess that sometimes life is rough. Oftentimes we struggle day by day and hour by hour and minute by minute. Sometimes we may not feel like going on, and none of us are strangers to discouragement. And you tell us to walk by faith, to consider it all joy when we encounter various trials. But Lord, sometimes we'd like to have a little bit more sight and a better understanding of what's going on. But at our deepest, we know better. We know that no matter what, all we really need is you. You are our strength in times of adversity. When we are troubled, you comfort us. When we are discouraged, you lift us up. Help us to seek the values that will bring us lasting joy. May your love, your grace, compassion, and mercy carry us away this day and lead us with love to be your hands and heart in the world. Use us to bring light to this dark world. Use us to bring life to a struggling world. And use us to bring joy to a despairing world. We pray this morning knowing that you hear all of our prayers. This one spoken aloud, but also those spoken quietly in personal worship. Now hear us as we say with one voice the prayer your Son taught us to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Jesus said, truly I tell you, just as you did it unto one of the least of these who are members of my family, you did it to me. Well, the children, the 80 plus children at Vacation Bible School became giving neighbors this week. They donated supplies to the UAMS Family Home, which houses parents of babies that are in the neonatal intensive care unit and patients and caregivers for those in the cancer center treatment area. They've donated laundry supplies and paper goods for the home. And I appreciate, and I know you do, and I know the home will appreciate their generosity and their giving. It was a wonderful week. They learned a lot, and they taught us a lesson about giving. Let us pray. Generous God, we recognize that giving is a blessing and not a burden. And this offering is only one way that you call us to practice discipleship. So we ask that you combine these financial resources with our witness and our talents and our prayers and our presence, that as we go out these doors and as these gifts leave this place, we may significantly influence the lives of others who seek and need your love. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.
standing for our hymn of meditation, hymn 369, Blessed Assurance, Jesus is Mine.
I wish to share with you the reading of God's holy word. If you care to turn to the book of James, and we'll be finding the first chapter and beginning with the second verse through the 12th verse. May the people of God be inspired and challenged as they hear from this word of God as recorded in the letter of James, the first chapter, verses 2 through 12. Count it all joy, my brethren, when you meet various trials, for you know that the testing of your faith produces steadfastness, and let steadfastness have its full effect, that you may be perfect and complete, lacking in nothing. If any one of you lacks wisdom, let him ask God, who gives to all men generously and without reproaching, and it will be given him. But let him ask in faith, with no doubting. For he who doubts is like a wave of the sea that is driven and tossed by the wind. For that person must not suppose that a double-minded man, unstable in all his ways, will receive anything from the Lord. Let the lowly brother boast in his exaltation, and the rich in his humiliation, because like the flower of the grass he will pass away. For the sun rises with its scorching heat and withers the grass. Its flowers fall, and its beauty perishes. So will the rich man fade away in the midst of his pursuits. Blessed is the man who endures trial, for when he has stood the test, he will receive the crown of life which God has promised to those who love him. The word of God for the people of God. I want to think with you today about the idea of fulfillment. Surely, fulfillment is one of the greatest things in all the world. That feeling of fulfillment. Everyone likes to be needed. Everyone desires to do something and do it well. Perhaps you or someone you know, or perhaps children that you've seen especially, have this great, wonderful smile that comes across their face when they've done something well. And children especially will anticipate and expect an accordingly response to that excitement. Mommy, come quick! Katie ran to the kitchen and grabbed my hand and led me down the hallway toward the bathroom. I thought, oh no, something's happened to Kara. Well, it was more like Kara had happened to something. She had grabbed my long-handled wooden spoon out of the kitchen and had taken the potpourri in the bathroom, you know where I'm going, and had poured it into the toilet bowl and was stirring and said, Mom, look, I cook like you. And I thought, well, that's what the children think of my cooking. What is it to be fulfilled? In a day where distractions are rampant and hearts are restless, and in a world that demands of us, so, what have you done for me lately? A sense of fulfillment can be a difficult thing to grasp. So I'd like to offer to you today just a few thoughts about how to achieve personal fulfillment. I believe it's easier to obtain than we think. James, in the text today, speaks of joy. As he says, count it all joy when you meet various trials. Or probably joy is not the first thing that comes to our minds when we run across that hit a brick wall situation when trying to solve a problem or dealing with a disgruntled coworker or trying to help a troubled loved one. Joy is probably going to be the last thing that we experience. But what James is reminding us is of an age-old truth. We really do grow stronger and wiser as we work through the trials in life. We really do find lessons that are remembered through the pain of our struggles. We do find a deeper understanding when we finally realize, oh, so that's why I went through that. When we understand the benefit from the experience, we tend to believe joy is when something comes to us rather quickly and freely. Wow, I didn't have to do much to get that. Wow, that was pretty easy. And then on the other extreme, sometimes we'll feel complete joy and confuse that with relief because we made it through with great sacrifice. But I just want to offer to you today the idea that joy can be found in the ordinary. Growing up as a child, we didn't have a swimming pool in our backyard, but we had something better. We had an old-fashioned slip and slide. Oh, I couldn't wait for summer, and Mom would always, like clockwork, change out the plastic shower lining and give it to me. We'd peg it down on the little downhill slope in the backyard, get that water hose going, and suddenly our backyard turned into the entire neighborhood of kids. Oh, we would go from time to time to the country club swimming pool, but it didn't hold a candle to this spontaneous backyard full of kids squirting each other with the water hose. It was a great time. And then after it got a little cooler and the slip and slide got put away, and I heard Dad complain about the dead grass for at least a couple of months. Then I would take that shower curtain and drape it over my swing set, and I had an instant bat cave, and I was Catwoman. And then, this was before Nintendo and all these Xbox and all these other little video games we have. And so what do you do if you're outside and you're playing with a bunch of neighborhood kids? Well, and you live with South Arkansas with a lot of pine trees, you get the rake and you rake up the straw and you make rooms and you've got the biggest mansion you ever heard of. I know we're not kids anymore, but wow, those days. The lessons they taught me to appreciate nature and God's creation, I carry today. I get pretty excited when I spot a new bird out there by the feeder, or one that's come back this next year. I get excited about the springtime and seeing the first couple of fawn kind of clumsily make it across the lawn following their mother. And then in the fall, seeing that first buck. And no, I will not tell you when that is. And color. Who doesn't love the color of flowers in the summer and the spring, only to be replaced in the fall by the yellow hickories and the flaming red maples and the sweet gums? Joy is found in the ordinary. The smile on a newborn baby's face, that first smile, I ask you, compare it with anything? Or the tear in the eye of someone there at the receiving at the end of the service that said, "That message really touched me today. I needed that. I don't know how you knew, but thank you." Or someone coming and sharing a witness of having handed personally, eye to eye, hand to hand, one of those homeless kits that we put together to someone that may be their meal that day. These are just a few ordinary, but I'm telling you, eternal joys. The Bible's full of them. Abraham pled with God, "Oh God, if I find just 10 who are faithful." And Abraham made a difference in that plea. Noah kept looking hope after hope after hope for that bird with some kind of life in its beak coming back. And he hoped and he hoped some more. And the bird finally came with a branch indicating that the waters were finally subsiding. Joseph had a dream. Dreams are certainly ordinary. He had them quite often, as you and I do. But God used the dreams to share an extraordinary revelation that Joseph would be a part of raising the Son of God. Eternal, ordinary joys, they're there for us to see. We just have to open our hearts and our minds and slow ourselves down and look for God. The second thing I think that enables us to feel a real sense of fulfillment is to count our blessings, those moments of peace and contentment. Who here doesn't enjoy that early morning cup of coffee in quiet and silence and meditation? It's as if the birds are saying, "The world's awake now, come join us." The touch of a much-needed cool breeze or sip of cool water on a scorching day. Curled up with a good book, listening to the sound of the rain on top of the roof. A child's excitement over a discovery. "Come and see. Listen. Let me show you. Won't you come now with me?" A loved one's thrill in their voice over being recognized. I think part of the problem is sometimes we don't allow ourselves to feel the joy out of fear that it won't last. Fear someone will think that we're too content what's going on. Fear that we're too complacent, don't have any ambition. It's those times that you and I need to remember the words from 1 John 4:18, "Perfect love cast out all fear." The root of discontentment, my friends, is insecurity. Instead of focusing on yourself and on your problems, Focus on the fact that God loves you. God gave his son for you. Christ went to the cross while we were yet sinners. What kind of grace is that? What kind of love is that? That doesn't say you get better and you try to deserve it before I'll do that for you. God loves you and God will come through for you. On the other hand, if we place our security, our hope in ourselves or in others, as we are all flawed, we will surely be disappointed, possibly angered, very well feel some resentment, and definitely some fear. Place your contentment in Christ, who allows us to be mindful of his blessings and peace. And thirdly, I think a way to feel fulfilled is just go there. Just go ahead and accept forgiveness. Every day presents a crossroads for you and me. We can choose to get bogged down in the apology we didn't get, in the justification which was never offered, the injustice from the lack of understanding, the opportunity to have an explanation or to explain ourselves, which never surfaces. We can get mighty stuck in a fruitless emotion like hurt or revenge. Or we can just learn to accept moments of misbehavior because we are all sinners. Misunderstandings because none of us is the greatest communicator. We can all learn to accept the missed opportunities, but be thankful for God. For God is my judge. And I am not, and you are not, and we can be pretty harsh. Aren't we glad that's not in our job description? Jesus Christ is the source of our salvation, the giver and author of all grace. And as followers of Christ, we are called to extend forgiveness to others. And yes, I know it's very, very hard at times. Don't you think it was hard for Jesus? Forgiving us when it was undeserved. Price paid. Grace given, period. I served a church once where the administrative board chair and I differed in an opinion. In the United Methodist discipline, it states that we shall contribute and complete our shared ministries. The old term is apportionments. The word shall is a very interesting word. It means you will. And I'm glad it's there. It reminds us, it strongly encourages us, that we are connected, and together we can do great things, and apart we cannot. We draw upon our connected strength. Having explained all this, he still differed with me. It caused friction. I was feeling like the church needed to follow him. They had that mindset that preachers come and go, we're temporary employees, but these pillars of the church will be there after you're long gone, you see. So I was offered a new appointment and I took it, knowing full well that in years to come that time would heal, love would take over, it just simply wouldn't matter anymore. Whatever had caused the problem. So imagine my surprise about 3 or 4 months ago when my phone rang, and it was from another former pastor of that church who asked me, since I lived so close to Little Rock, if I would make a hospital call on his behalf. And because we're connectional, that's one of the things we do for each other. And I said, certainly. And he said, not knowing any history, he said it was this administrative board chair's daughter and family. They were in the hospital. The daughter had overdosed and was critical. Without hesitation, I ran to the hospital. When I walked in the room, imagine their surprise to see me. But their surprise quickly was changed into gratitude and relief that a pastor was here at that moment. The pastor that they had not had all bad history with. A pastor they knew had always loved them. We gathered in prayer around the bedside, and I had a final prayer with the family before the life support machines were disengaged. Forgiveness is vital, perhaps never more so than in the face of death. Jesus knew that. As he was hanging from his flesh, he looked at the people who had done that to him and lifted them in prayer and said, Father, forgive them. They know not what they do. And finally, I believe the way to truly feel a sense of fulfillment is commit yourself to finish the course. Keeping steady in Christ, remaining loyal to the Lord, it's easier to do when you stay committed to finishing the course of your faith. James ends this passage in such wisdom. Blessed is he who endures trial when he has stood the test. He will receive the crown of life which God has promised to those who love him. One of my all-time favorite movies is Cinderella Man, directed by Ron Howard, starring Russell Crowe and Renee Zellweger. And as you may know, the story is about James Broderick, who was a once great fighter. But as he ages and as the 1929 stock market crashes, he finds himself and his family penniless. He sold all of his fighting gear. He sold everything that anybody would possibly buy. And he begins to work shifts down at the docks, loading heavy cargo. Well, a man that believes in him, his former manager, finds a fight for him out of the clear blue because, quite frankly, the one who was going to fight had dropped out and James Broderick was going to be the replacement. And as the story unfolds, you find that he's so thankful and he's so committed. But at one point, somebody says, as he begins to win round after round, match after match, what's different, James? Before you couldn't win a match for anything, and now look at you. And he said, now I know what I'm fighting for. Milk. Putting food on the table for my family. He's hungry. His wife and kids are hungry and cold, and that drives him to complete and finish the course of his faith. And he wins the World Heavyweight Championship from 1935 to 1937 at ages 30 to 32, ancient by boxing standards. The fighter within him remained. Jesus Christ appeared to the world to have lost the battle when he said, "It is finished." What he was really telling the world was that he had finished the mission. The victory was complete. He had come to redeem humankind, and he redeemed humankind. Purpose intended was purpose completed. Now, personally, I don't know what you're going through today. I don't know if you're thinking about quitting something. I don't know if you're feeling discouraged about a situation or about a relationship beyond repair. Or tempted beyond resistance. But remember this. A finisher is not without wounds. A finisher is not without scars. You've got them. I've got them. Why should we not experience something that even God did not spare his son to experience? As a church, we've stopped the bleeding. But now I implore you, we have got to build. Amen? Oh, if we're going to build with that weakness, we're not going to build much. It's time to build. Amen. Did you hear that, Jesus? And that means a shift of focus from repairing ourselves to going out and replenishing this community. We're going to branch out a bit more. We're going to go to these apartments. We're going to go beneath the bridges. We're going to go downtown. And we're going to do more than pat ourselves on the back because we made it to church on a Sunday morning. It's time to offer the hospitality to Christ. We are Christ's hands and feet. If we're not out there, who's going to do it? It's time that we do what we can to help people feel hope again. You've been there. You have been at a point where you didn't feel much hope. Some of us live in communities where it's difficult to feel hope. But if you believe in Christ, you believe in hope alive. We can no longer wait for others to discover how fabulous Asbury is, and it is. You see, our call is to go and discover them and share with them how fabulous Christ is. The promised land waits for those who endure. The victory is sweeter because of the trials. The goal awaits and is achieved by those who endure. Hear what Paul said in 1 Timothy. I have fought the good fight. I have finished the race. I have kept the faith. Now there is in store for me the crown of righteousness, which the Lord will reward me and all who have longed for his appearing. So the path to feeling fulfilled is right before us. It's time for the whining and the despair and the discouragement to vanish. And it's time to feel complete in Christ. The joy of the ordinary, the counting of our blessings, the accepting forgiveness and offering forgiveness, and finishing the course of our faith. Can we do that? And the people of God said, amen. Thanks be to God. Our hymn of commitment is Joyful, Joyful, We Adore Thee, 89. As I invite you to stand and sing our closing hymn, if there are those here today who would like to unite with this church in any of the ways we receive members, to come forward and profess your faith in Jesus Christ as your personal Lord and Savior, or to come forward and renew that faith, or to grab the hand of someone near you and say, won't you come and pray with me? This message has convicted me that I need to go out there. Won't you come and pray that we can do it? In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, let us be standing. It was a joy to be with you in worship today, and I hope that you've had a chance to greet those around you. I hope you'll carry the joy of Christ in your heart as you go forward today and extend that joy in the name of Jesus Christ to all we meet. And I hope also I'll see you in just a moment to honor Chase and Jana. Please receive the benediction. And now, God, you have given us the great commission through your Son, Jesus Christ, that we would go forward and share the gospel of good news to all we meet. Help this not to be just a phrase that some preacher says at the end of the service. Help this be a real commission in our hearts to go forward and to bring someone to know Christ. In his holy name we pray. Amen.